Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Has there ever been a time when God doesn't look like himself? You expect him to behave a certain way, and he behaves differently? Blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial. And when Jesus had come up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. Thus far the reading. Blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial. Mark's gospel is noted for its sense of urgency, for getting right to the point. Rather than spending time talking about Jesus' birth, the joy of Christmas, Mark's gospel opens with the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, with his being baptized in the Jordan River by the way preparer, John the Baptist. But there's no time for details. The urgency here in Mark's gospel is more than just a literary device. The kingdom of God is at hand, as Jesus himself just proclaimed. There's no time to waste. At Jesus' baptism, the heavens were torn asunder. The Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. The Father's voice booms from heaven, proclaiming Jesus to be his Son, his only begotten Son whom he loves. And then immediately, with a sense of urgency, the same sense of urgency, the same Spirit that had descended like a dove drives Jesus out into the wilderness. But Jesus welcomed the opportunity. He welcomed the opportunity to face the enemy. For this is why he came. He would not shrink from the opportunity to be tempted. Jesus walked into this first battle with resolute determination, because this battle would mark the beginning of the end for Satan and his devils, and there was not a second to lose. St. Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinth saying, "Now if anyone builds on a foundation, on the foundation, actually, the foundation of faith in Christ, with gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that one has done as he has built on the foundation of faith in Christ, survives, he will receive a reward." Sounds a little foreboding, doesn't it? A little ominous, maybe a little bit out of reach. Fire will test. The trials of life, let's face it, the trials of life come, and they're never pleasant. But our readings remind us today, and maybe tell us for the first time, that these trials of life can reinforce faith to endure till the end. Blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial. These are the things of which our readings speak today. In our Old Testament readings, and I got to be honest, this is one, and I've said this before, this is one that I've always tried to avoid. This is one that's always bugged me. In our Old Testament reading today, there's a man being tested to the very limits of his faith. The Lord tested Abraham, commanding him to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. Our confessions teach that, well, concerning the Lord's prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." The Lord tests our faith, but he never tempts anyone. Sometimes he uses these tests to draw us closer to himself. Actually, every time he does it, that's what he's up to. There are times in life when to us, God doesn't look like himself. God tempts no one. In the midst of fiery trials, in the midst of pain and sorrow, God's only desire, even when we can't see it, his only desire is to draw us closer to him. It is for our good, our ultimate good. But the enemy, the devil, loves to take those times as opportunities to tempt us to look the other way, to accuse the Lord of injustice, to turn away from him in anger, or to look for an easier route. Take our Old Testament reading for today, where I just started a minute ago. At first glance, God doesn't seem like himself. And the path he sets before Abraham, at least in my mind, seems unreasonable and perhaps unjust to us. In our Old Testament reading, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Take him to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you." The Lord called Abram, before he was Abraham, back in the day, do we still say that? Out of the land of idolatry. His father, his family lived on the other side of the river Euphrates in the region of Ur. And the people of Ur at that time and before that had invented for themselves some 4,000, probably a number that was growing, some 4,000 false gods. Abram's family grew up in that. So Abram, according to Joshua 24, grew up in that. And for one of those false gods, or maybe all of those false gods, to demand that Abraham offer his son as a burnt offering, the son he loves, didn't seem all that far out of line or that far-fetched. But this thing of which the one true God commanded, this thing that his Lord commanded, was completely out of character. St. James wrote, as we said a minute ago in our second reading, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised," which God has promised to those who love him. And I often wondered what that walk must have been like for Abraham. Did his feet feel heavier than usual? Did each step become more and more weighed down the closer he came to his destination? Was his heart weighed down with grief and procrastination? Did he ever waver? Abraham was faced with a test that every good father would do everything he could to avoid, if possible. And yet Abraham marched on. In reading the text, one doesn't hear that. At least I can't hear that in him. I don't hear any hesitation in Abraham's words, in his voice. Quite the contrary. He seems, well, there seems to be a resolute determination in his voice, as there was when Jesus went out to be tempted. Something seemed to be driving him, as if he welcomed the opportunity to prove his trust to the Lord, trusting in the Lord's promise. On the day God called Abraham, he made a promise to him. And he made good on that promise when the angel of the Lord came and said, with news of a son, saying, "Fear not, Abraham," or Abram at that time. "I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you." Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted his trust as righteousness. And it is this same angel of the Lord who would intervene in the text today. At this point in our Old Testament reading, God was testing the steadfastness of Abraham's trust. And it is as if Abraham welcomed that opportunity. And when Abraham saw the place from afar, and you can hear his resoluteness in these words, his trust in these words, he said to his two servants, "You stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there and worship. And the boy and I will come back to you. And the boy and I will come back to you." It is said that Abraham believed that he would have to go through with it. But he also believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. And he seemed to have resigned himself to the fact that that's just the way it was going to go for him. But as Abraham walked with Isaac, I hear him express a hope that God would spare him that pain, that God would stop the test before it reached what he believed to be the ultimate conclusion, the obvious conclusion. Well, in fact, the Lord did have other things in mind. As they walked, Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide. God will provide the lamb for himself for the burnt offering, my son. God will provide." God had made a promise to Abraham. And through that, well, the promise was that through this son who walked right beside him, his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sands on the seashore. And God is always true to his word. God is always true to his word. So as Abraham spoke of God's promise to his son, I can hear his heart calling out for mercy. And in that plea for mercy, Abraham revealed another promise, a promise that God had made to him, a promise greater than just a big family. God would provide the lamb himself, not just the lamb for himself, but the lamb himself. That day, the steadfast faith of Abraham witnessed the fulfillment of God's promise when God provided just in the nick of time. That's kind of what he does. Have you noticed that? It's like, man, I don't know if I can take much more. Just in the nick of time, he provides what's needed, a ram caught in a thicket. And the angel of the Lord called out from heaven. The very Son of God called from heaven saying, don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. God would supply the lamb for himself for that moment and for eternity. The same one who called from heaven would take on human flesh, that the words of Abraham would find their ultimate fulfillment generations later on that same hill. God's only son, whom he loves, would be sacrificed. For Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Have you ever had to hold your child while they receive an immunization, a vaccination, a shot? Is that a pleasant thing for you? That's horrible. They give you the look like, Father, why have you forsaken me? As you hold them while they get poked. God had spared Abraham the grief of sacrificing his only son, but God would not allow himself to be spared that same grief. He would lay his own son, the son whom he loves, on the wood of a cross, while evil men had their way with him, while they nailed him hand and feet. And the Father says, hang in there. It's going to hurt for a little bit, but it'll be okay. There was no ram with its horns caught in the thicket. There was no voice from heaven saying, don't lay a hand on the boy. Although he could easily have stopped it, he did not. There was only an ungrateful people. There was only mocking and spitting and sorrow and dying. There was only the voice from the cross saying, well, the Son of God crying, my Father, why have you forsaken me? This was no test. This was the real deal. The only begotten Son of God was sacrificed in our place. And with his life, he paid the debt that you and I owe, and he paid it in full. Even the trials of life cannot take that from you. Please hear that. Not even the trials of life can take that from you. For nothing will separate you from God's love for you in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. By his wounds you are healed. And so I'm going to tweak Peter's words just slightly. Blessed are you who remain steadfast under trial. For when you have stood the test, when faith in Jesus has kept you safe all the way to the end of the race, you, like Abraham, will see God's promise fulfilled in your life. You will receive the treasures laid up for you in heaven. You will receive your own crown of life, not one of those. This is your Lord, the Lamb of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.